If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to open your Bible to Mark chapter 14. We'll be in verses 1 through 11. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. I asked Brother Turkey on the way out on the bus this afternoon. I said, how did Brother David do? What was the message about? He goes, Brother David, he said, Pharaoh preached. I'm like, Pharaoh? He says, he wouldn't let his God's people go. So I don't know. I heard it was a good message. So. But then I thought about that, and I thought, I was with Brother Mike and Brother Richie this week and a couple other people, and Brother Mike said several times, you know what, pastor since COVID has been short, so I blame it on him. He's the one that says, pastor's been short, so just another long service, but it's been a good day in the house of the Lord. If you found your spot, would you go ahead and stand in honor of reading God's word, Mark chapter 14. As we read, I want to call to your attention the comparisons of the different groups of people we have here. There's a sharp contrast between the different people that we're going to be considering tonight. So as we make our way through that, let's consider, think about that. The Bible says, after 2 days was a feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of people. The high priest, the Sanhedrin, they hated Jesus. They didn't value Jesus at all. Verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, this is Jesus, as he sat at meat, there is a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some, see Mary? She gave a very expensive gift to God, to Jesus. Verse 4, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for the more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. That would be Judas and the disciples. And Jesus said, I underlined that and highlighted that Jesus said, Jesus stands on our behalf. He said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me, ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they had heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. You have several different people here. And the value they place on Jesus. I've entitled the message, Highly Valued, Highly Valued. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. God, so thankful for your word and your truth. God, I'm so thankful that we have the preserved word of God that we can come to and know that you're speaking to us. So God, I pray that you would help us to consider this truth and just know that the one we ought to value most of all is you. And it is displayed in our service and our devotion to you. So I pray that you would help us to consider that this tonight. It's in Christ. Let me pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. There are products on the market right now that have a high value. You go to the grocery store. You go to buy some eggs. Eggs right now are $5 a dozen. Several months ago, we buy the big 30 dozen at Sam's. It used to be like $25 to $33 for a whole carton of it. It was $78 for 30 dozen of eggs. It's expensive. It makes it out to be about 40 cents per egg. I was talking to Miss Joanne the other day. She says she feeds her family almost two dozen eggs per week. That's a lot of money when you add those up, or per day, when you add that up. And also, this is in my notes, but I love Fruity Pebbles. And Fruity Pebbles, the cheap kind. I'm too cheap to buy the Fruity Pebbles brand, okay? The Post. The Fruity Pebbles used to be a bag for like $2.50 to $3.25. They're now $7, $8 a bag. I told Mary the other day, there's no way we're buying any more. Don't. And then I was in there the other day and I bought some, but it had a high value. A couple of months ago, I went to eat with some friends and we went to Five Guys. And we're in there, we're getting a hamburger. We got in line and I looked at the price. I'm like, whoa. And it said for just a hamburger, you can have cheese on it too. And it was $13. $13 for a hamburger from Five Guys. I thought, man, that's 100% beef that they're charging $13 for. There's high value burgers there. Brother John said the same thing when I was talking to the bus the other day, that they are, they've gone up. Lubbock Appraisal District has put a high value on our homes. They like the taxes that they get from it, and they keep raising the value up, and it has gone up. And everybody knows this, but the car value has gone up over the past 2 years. I looked it up, and the average price of a used car is around $26,000. I was talking to Brother Morgan this morning. He said they're going to drop now that there's more vehicles on the market, but that's a high value for a car, a used car. I mean, even if you're looking at old jalopy, one that barely rolls you anywhere and gets you somewhere, you're looking at least $5,000 to $6,000 for that type of car. It's got a high value. Well, here's Mary in our text. And Mary has this box of spikenard, of precious ointment. And this spikenard is in a box, is an alabaster box, and it's very precious. And the Bible tells us, and we know from John chapter 12, that Judas Iscariot is the one that actually named the price of what it was. So I have in my hand, it's not an alabaster box of ointment, it is Mark's lava lamp. So thank you, Brother Mark, for the mural. But it would be a alabaster box would be a square box, and it would have a slender neck and with a top on that would be sealed. And it would be a perfume. And this perfume was the alabaster would be especially come from import of India. And it would be a rare root that they would get this perfume from India. And it would cost a lot. And the Bible says that it was 300 pence for this perfume. 300 pence. 1 pence would be a denarii, which would be equivalent to 1 day's labor. So if you did that today, 1 day of labor times 300. I did the math. If you had minimum wage at $7.25, which is Texas, it was $17,400 that this bottle of perfume would have cost back then. But most people are getting more than minimum wage. Brother Richie started something out the other day, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty nice. That was like very beginning. You can have anywhere from $11 to $15 for the average worker out there. And if you had $11 an hour, that would be $26,400. If it was $15 an hour, it would be $36,000. So this box of alabaster ointment of spikenard, that it costs anywhere from today $17,000 to $36,000. And Mary has this, and it's expensive, and it's valuable. They would use it to anoint people before they for burial. They would use this when they had guests come into their home. And they would pour just one or two drops on the head of somebody that was visiting. It was a customary back in the Middle East. And so here's Mary with this very precious ointment. It's valuable. It's over around $20,000 today. And she has it. And she takes it and she breaks it upon the Lord, breaks it open and pours it upon the Lord's head. Let's go back to verse number one and let's look at what's taking place here. You have the Passover feast and of the unleavened bread, which is coming up. And at that time when the Passover would come, it would be a celebration of Israel's independence when they were freed from Egypt. And they would celebrate this and the promise of God rescuing them and protecting them and saving them. And so they would gather together and they would all come back to Jerusalem. And so the commentators say that there would be anywhere from 50,000 to 250,000 people that would travel from around the area into Jerusalem. I've not been to Jerusalem, but some of you have been to the Holy Land. And from what I've heard, it's not very big. They're surprising how you can get around different places pretty easily. And so could you imagine up to 250,000? They said, most of them said that almost 200,000, if not 250, would come back for the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And they'll come back for them. So you had the people coming in and just the crowds that would be all over the streets. And they'll come in and for the Passover feast, the inns would be full. The streets would be just a buzz around the streets as they get ready for the Passover. And the scribes and the high priest, which would be the Sanhedrin together, they've had enough of Jesus. They're done with Jesus, of his preaching and his teaching and authority that Jesus had, that as he taught and he preached, they're done and they're tired of him and they wanted him dead. The Bible says they sought craftily how they could put him to death. They knew that at this point in time, that if they were to try to arrest Jesus, that the people that would come around, and especially those from Galilee that would have been followers of Jesus, that they could have caused an uproar in the city, and they didn't want that. And so they sought how they might conveniently get him to put him to death, because they didn't value Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who came to rescue God's chosen people and redeem all mankind, he came to Israel, but they rejected him. The high priest who knew better, the religious elite, they hated Jesus. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. They're ready to kill him. And so you have they say, we can't do it right now because there's going to be uproar. So let's see how we can conveniently, craftily sneak and get him to crucify him. And as that's going on, Jesus is coming from Jericho to Jerusalem for one purpose, to die on the cross, to pay for the sins of the entire world. And so here's Jesus. He's in the Mount of Olives, and he's there, and he's 2 miles from Jerusalem to come, 6 days from being crucified. And here's Jesus. He's on his way, and he stops in the Mount of Olives in Bethany, in the house of a leper named Simon, who Simon was a leper, and he goes there to eat and rest before he goes to Jerusalem to be crucified. The purpose he came to die on the cross, to pay for sins of everyone in here and of the whole world. As he sits there and meet, we know from John chapter 12 that you have the Mary's the one that broke the alabaster box of ointment, and her sister Martha and Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead, is there. And you have the disciples there, and they're gathered together, and they're eating. And so here's Jesus eating with the disciples and Simon, who was a leper. They're eating, and they're sitting there eating together. And as they're eating, Mary comes in. And she takes this alabaster box of ointment, and she takes it and she breaks it open, meaning she's going to give it all to the Lord. She's not holding anything back from the Lord. She's going to give everything she has to give to the Lord. And she breaks open the flask of alabaster, the what's super valuable and expensive in that time. Even today, it would be $20,000. And she takes it and she pours it on Jesus's head. And she pours it on his feet. And the Bible says in John chapter 12, she begins to wash Jesus with her hair. She lets her hair down. And in that time, women would keep their hair up. If their hair was down, it was a sign of they were a prostitute. She went beyond culture boundaries to do this act of extravagant love for the Savior, for her King, for her Messiah, for the one that she claimed as master, that she made master of life. She breaks open and holds nothing back and gives and pours it on his head. But we have at the same time as she does this, you have Judas Iscariot and the disciples. And as she's doing this, no one can doubt or deny where her loyalty laid. Her loyalty was to Jesus Christ. And here is Mary pouring out this expensive gift, this extravagant act of love and devotion to our Savior. And she pours it out on him. And the disciples, they begin to get, the Bible says they have indignation in their heart. And they begin to murmur and complain and say, why was this not sold? We could have sold it to the poor and given it to the poor. And it was 300 pence. If you sold that, you'll get around $20,000 that we could give to the poor. And here is Mary wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. This selfless act of love. Do you know what? There's times that as we serve the Lord, And we decide, I'm giving him my all. I'm going to give him my all. And you go all in, and you're serving the Lord, whether it's in bus ministry, whether it's in choir, or whatever it might be, you're serving the Lord. And as you're serving the Lord as a Sunday school teacher, you're serving it. And somebody might say, well, why are you doing that? Why are you up there on Sunday afternoons? What does it matter? The bus kids never listen anyway, so what's the matter? No, they do. They might say, well, why are you giving your attention to the choir? We know how to sing. It's okay. We don't have to. But why are you doing that? No, as you're all in and serving the Lord and holding nothing back from Jesus and giving him your all, it could be that people, maybe not necessarily in church, it could be in church, it could be out there in the world, they say, why do you give the faith promise? What does it matter anyway? You could go buy a new car with that. That's a good payment for a car. You could spend this money on this. And they might say things that would cut. Jesus said, trouble her not. The word trouble means to cut deep. And at times, when you're serving the Lord and you're all in, there could be people that would say things that cut deep. It's not the disciples, they didn't oppose her or disagree because that they were superior to her in wisdom, but because they were inferior to her in consecration. She was sold out. She was all in for the Lord. She was holding nothing back. And here is Mary serving the Lord with this act of extravagant love to the Lord Jesus Christ. But why? Why is she doing this? Why would she do this? As she does this, Jesus said to the disciples and to Judas Iscariot, he stands up and he says, leave her alone. She's doing a good work. You know, that good work is beautiful. You know, the choir sang really good tonight. The choir ministry is beautiful. The usher ministry, the door greeters, that's a beautiful ministry. The bus ministry is a beautiful ministry. Giving to faith promise, that's beautiful. You're laying up rewards in heaven. It's beautiful. And if you're sold out to God, don't stop. It's a good, it's beautiful in the sight of the Lord. He's pleased with you giving your all to him and holding nothing back. And here's Mary holding nothing back. And Jesus stands up in her defense. And I'm so thankful that God is in heaven interceding for us and stands up on our behalf. I think about Stephen when he was martyred. What did Jesus do? He stood up and stood up for Philip. Stephen, when he was martyred in Acts chapter 7, he stood up on his behalf. And here's Jesus saying, leave her alone. Stop saying that. Leave her alone. She has wrought a good work on me. And he goes and tells them, it's not that, because they said, well, we could have sold it and give it to the poor. In the Passover feast and unleavened bread, they were supposed to give something to the poor. That was part of just the thing that they did, that they would give something to the poor, benefactory. So, but Jesus says, you have the poor with you always. Me, you're not. And Jesus says this. He goes, she had done what she could. I think about that statement. The alabaster box of perfume, the perfume that she poured on Jesus, it was worth $20,000. And Jesus says, she has done a good work on me. If somebody gave $20,000 today, you'd be like, man, that's awesome, that's excellent. The Church Planters Conference, we had over $150,000 raised. We saw for this one church planter getting a building, and we praise God for that. But Jesus says she has done what she could. But he also at the end says that this is going to be a memorial for her, that this will be told from generations to generations. And we still talk about it today. You know what? Serving the Lord in the ministry that he's placed you in, it can be laborsome. It can be an act of selfless love to serve the Savior in that area. But it's a good work. And God wants us to do what we can. And there's some in here that used to serve, used to teach a Sunday school, used to help out in different areas on bus ministry. And you know what? Health has not allowed that. Brother David prayed that there's some that can't come to church because of their health. You know what? God still has a good work for you to do in prayer. You can pray for these ministries. You can be all in and be that prayer war that we need as we go out there and serve the Lord. You can do what you can. Now, everybody's gifted at singing. I'm not gifted at singing. But you know what? I hold nothing back. Ask Miss Betty. She sometimes turns on like, you're not on key. I'm like, and then I get insecure. I'm like, and I start slowing down. But then the Lord convicts me. Are you going to be all in? And start belting out again. You see, I cleared out the section back there. I mean, I hold nothing back. And when we sing hymns and congregational songs, we should hold nothing back. We should be all in for our Savior. We should give him everything we have because he is worthy of it. So why did Mary, when she had this expensive gift, she took it and broke it, meaning she held nothing back. She could have took the bottle off and poured one up there and sufficed, but no, she broke it open and says, I am giving it all to the Lord. I'm holding nothing back. And there's some in here that have holding things back from the Lord, and you need to get back into serving the Lord because he's coming back. And there's some in here that are serving the Lord, and they're going on, and they're doing a good work. Don't stop. Don't let somebody come by and say, oh, and say something sharp to you. Don't go let somebody else come by and trick you or say something that offends you. No, go all out for the Lord. Give him everything you have. Don't hold anything back on a Sunday. It's a long day. I get it. It's a long day. But hold nothing back when you're on the bus ministry and you say, well, I'm just sitting up there. Talk to the kids. Be all in. You might say, well, I'm in the choir and I never get to sing a special part. Well, just be all in. Be sold out to the Lord. Give him your all. Be there for him. Maybe you say, well, I be all in. Don't hold anything back from the Lord. Don't let somebody else come by and say something that is wrong. Maybe even the world would say it, and it hurts. Don't let that stop you from being all in for the Lord. Give it everything you got. He's coming back. We don't have much time. Give him everything you got. Hold nothing back. And here's Mary. She holds nothing back. And if she holds nothing back, Jesus said, she has done a good work for me. She did it for my burial. She knew to get this. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Mark chapter 9, verse 31, Mark chapter 10, verse 33 and 34, Jesus foretells that he is going to go and he's going to die on the cross. And he's going to do this. He's going to raise from the dead the third day. And as he's there, he's telling the disciples and he's telling them, I am going to go and die on the cross to pay for sin. He tells them that, but the disciples miss it. They miss it. It goes over their head. I am confident that Mary got this, and she knew that he was going to die. She knew that Jesus loved her that much, that he was going to die on the cross. And then when somebody would die as a thief or a criminal, they would not get any anointing before the burial, proper burial. And she said, I know I've saved this. I didn't have this. She didn't have the money to buy that. It was most like an heirloom that came from family, whether it's passed down. She didn't have the money to do it. It was handed down. It's kind of like maybe you might get a truck from your grandpa for when he passes away or to pass down, or ladies would get a ring. And she got this heirloom and she has it. And it's very valuable. It's expensive. And she has it and she says, I am going to give it to my Savior. I'm going to pour it all out. I'm breaking it open. I'm giving it to him because he's worthy of it. Because she knew in her heart that Jesus Christ, who is a sinless Son of God, who is God himself, who is holy and righteous, who left heaven, who was worshipped by angels and praised all the time, came from heaven to come to this earth to bleed and die and to be tortured and to be mocked and ridiculed for what? For her sin. For her sin. She knew that. And she said, I'm not holding anything back because my Savior highly valued me and died on the cross so I could be saved and be on my way to heaven. And when she realized how much Jesus valued her and then that relationship she had with Jesus, she said, I'm not holding anything back. I'm giving him everything I got. So she highly valued Jesus because Jesus highly valued her. Because Jesus gave everything. He was broken. He was bruised. He didn't hold anything back. He left heaven and came and died on the cross. So I could be saved. So you could be saved. So Mary could be saved. And she knew that. And she says, I'm not holding anything back. I'm not holding anything back. I'm giving it to the Lord. And she did just that. She gave it to the Lord. She held nothing back. Goes on down, Judas Iscariot. What does he do? He betrays the Lord. He sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave because he doesn't value the Lord. He valued what he could get from him. He didn't value Jesus. To honor Christ in this manner, they said, was a waste. They did not believe he was worthy of such sacrifice and extravagant love. Some are willing to be poor in their possession in order to be rich in their devotion to Jesus. Others are not. It's not always the case. The world, and sadly many in the church, will never have a problem with moderate measure devotion to Christ. They'll have little to no problem with too many possessions and a pursuit of comfortable and convenient Christianity. But walk away from a real job, real career, and you'll be marked as foolish, living a wasted life. Walk away from mom and dad to serve the Lord in the inner city of America among the poor and hurting. You could be deemed silly and impractical. Walk away from family and friends and go to London, to the mission field, or to Taiwan, to the unreached people group. Taking your small children with you, you'd be chided as reckless or radical, even imbalanced, and in need of serious counseling. Yes, you may be criticized for serving the Lord, whether it might be in bus ministry, whether it might be in, you name it, where the Lord has you to do what you can for him. He's got a place for everybody. I mean, there's a place for you. If you're not serving, there's a place for you to get plugged in and serve the Lord. He put you in this body for a reason, and he's got a place for you to serve. Yes, you may be criticized here, but in heaven, you have a master who applauds you for your love and sacrificial giving for him. I wrote this down as contrast. Mary, a woman with no real standing. Judas, he was one of the 12. The high priest, the religious elite. Mary gave what she could to Jesus. Judas took what he could from Jesus. The high priest plotted against Jesus. Mary blessed her Lord. Jesus betrayed the Lord. The high priest arrested the Lord. Mary loved the Lord. Judas used the Lord. The high priest did a wicked thing to the Lord. Mary did a beautiful thing. Judas did a terrible thing. Mary served him as Savior. Judas sold him like a slave. The high priest had him beat like a criminal. Mary is notable forever for her love for her Savior. Judas is notorious forever for his betrayal of the Savior. The high priest, known forever for the death of the Savior. But he didn't stay dead. He came back to life 3 days later. And if you're in here today and you're not saved, God wants to save you from your sins. You just have to say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you did die on that cross and you left the glory of heaven to save me from my sins, and you can be saved today. If you're in here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, my friend, God loves you and he wants you to be saved. And we'll have an invitation time in just a minute. And you can come down front, and we have ladies that will deal with ladies and men that will deal with men, and they can take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. And here's Mary. As she does that, gives that extravagant love and devotion. But I don't want to miss this either. See, every time we find Mary in the Bible, you know where she's at? At Jesus' feet. Luke chapter 11, Martha's out there serving, encumbered and distracted and angry, upset, and comes to Jesus and says, "Don't you care? She's not in there helping me in the kitchen." Mary highly valued Jesus because he highly valued her. But Mary also didn't let anything stop her from serving the Lord and being extravagant and demonstration of love and devotion to him. You know why? Because it came from her relationship with the Lord. She walked with him, and she knew she was doing what she could do for him. And so when somebody said something, I don't think it would have moved Mary. Jesus stood up for her, but I don't think it would have moved her. I think she knew she was doing exactly what she should do, and she was sold out to the Savior. You know, sometimes somebody could say something, it hurts, it cuts deep, and you're like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm done. I'm done with bus ministry. I'm done in choir. I'm done helping in kids' church. I'm done with this. Let your service and your being sold out to God come from the fact that He highly valued you and your strength comes from Him. Mary didn't move. There's a hymn, 168. When I survey the wondrous cross, verse 4 says, were the whole realm of nature mine, there were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Jesus gave His life for us. He highly values you because He paid for your sin and my sin. We should highly value Him and our service and our devotion to Him. Maybe sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I can get in the motions and forget, but I go back to that hymn, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love, lead me to Calvary. Every head bowed, every eye closed.